And we have 12 jurors for the trial. They're in place. And unless something additionally bizarre happens, which is certainly possible, and that would be overnight, we'll probably have 12 jurors in the morning when we get back here. Of course, last night we had 7, and then as the day progressed, we had 5, and now we're back up to 12. And of course, the push is on to get 6 more before tomorrow afternoon, and it looks like that's very doable. And if that's true, if that happens, then we've got a trial with opening arguments that will start on Monday morning. I know a lot of people are very upset about the fact that Donald Trump is out of control. He is essentially going berserk throughout this trial so far. And he is prepared to do things that, of course, no criminal defendant could ever get away with. But he's prepared to do it because up until now, he has been able to do it. And on Tuesday, at this point, there's going to be a hearing. And as it stands right now, that hearing will look at how many violations of the gag order have taken place, which at the moment appears to be either 7 or 10. I'm not sure because it gets explained differently each time. It was either 3 going into this week and has now expanded to 10, or it's 7 since the beginning. But I can assure you, whether it's 7 or whether it's 10, it's completely, totally unacceptable in our criminal justice system. But we do have a way to handle this immediately. This is not like what we've seen up until now, where Donald Trump can do anything that he wants, you know, day in and day out with, you know, no impunity, because the system is in place to protect his rights. That's why this has taken 5 years. That's why this goes on and on. He has the right to appeal, which, as you know, that's going on right at the moment at the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is looking to see if he, as a president, had the right to total immunity from all prosecution simply because he was a president of the United States. Meaning everything. He could do anything. When this was briefed in oral arguments at the Supreme Court, his lawyers were asked, do you believe that under your theory that Donald Trump could assign SEAL Team 6 as an assassination squad against Joe Biden if he were president? And the answer was yes, he could. He could do anything he wants. Anything. Kill anybody. Break any law. You know, the old story, when he started all of this back in 2015, that story was they could shoot somebody going down Fifth Avenue and his supporters would remain in place. Some thought that was a joke. But now what we've come to is Donald arguing in front of the Supreme Court of the United States that, in fact, he can do that. He can kill anyone, do anything. He's a president of the United States, and he has unlimited power to take any action that he decides. No consequences ever. Not while he's president, not after he's president. Now, that's been shot down by every court there is. And then finally, it got to the D.C. District Court, and they didn't just shoot it down. They wrote a long, very carefully crafted decision which explained why the president of the United States, whoever, could not just have unlimited immunity. So that was already decided at the district court level. And a lot of people thought that the Supreme Court would just say, that's such a good decision that we'll just walk away. We don't have to take the case. Supreme Court could have just left it at the district court level and moved on, with the district court decision being the final one. End of story. They didn't. They decided they wanted to take the case. And under that circumstance, one could have said, well, they've been asked to expedite it, so maybe they'll just do this quickly. Move it on. Let's get this done. But they didn't do that. In fact, they set oral arguments for April the 25th. So that's a week from today. So in one sense, it's great because once again, those of us who are interested in learning from this will be able to hear a wonderful discussion at the Supreme Court concerning the possibility that a president has unlimited immunity or not. And why not? With the Supreme Court justices asking appropriate questions along the way, and it should be a powerfully educational discussion. I'm going to love it for my high school kids, but in all honesty, everybody in the United States should be listening to this because it is our country, and you ought to know. You ought to know what everybody thinks on all sides. But in the end, be assured of this. Donald Trump will not have unlimited immunity. It just won't happen. Everyone knows it won't. The Supreme Court knows it won't. The one question that we have about the Supreme Court, I'm sure, are they doing this in order to preserve Donald Trump's rights all the way down to the end, giving him full opportunity to have all of his arguments heard, litigated, and ultimately tossed, because that's where they're going to go. They're going to be tossed. It may be that Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito might buy into this story, but the others won't. I'll say it'll be 8-2. Here's the, or I'm sorry, 7-2. But there is one problem. When are they going to tell us? April 25th? They could tell us in 2 weeks. They could tell us in 1 week. Or they could drag this all the way out till July 1st. Why would they do that? Maybe there's enough support on the Supreme Court for Donald Trump, maybe, to want to give him a little bit of help when it comes to these additional cases that need to be heard, that need to be tried. That's very sad if it's true. It won't save Trump, but it's sad if it's true. So we'll see how fast it happens that we get a decision. Remember, when Bush versus Gore was decided, it was a few days. That was very quickly. They heard the arguments. They made the decision. They went forward. It was over. Here, not so fast. But maybe this will speed up towards the end here. Maybe April 25th comes. Maybe a week later they write their opinion. And then maybe we move on to the trials. Maybe. Maybe Aileen Cannon is challenged by Jack Smith in Florida. And although everybody says it is an incredibly high bar that must be reached in order to pull a judge like this off of a case, maybe that'll happen. And maybe we'll get a trial in Florida, which could happen right now. They could start it next week. Aileen Cannon is playing with this thing, and everybody knows it. Donald doesn't want it to happen. And Aileen Cannon is doing Donald's bidding, and we don't know why. But we can guess, but we don't know why for sure. But we'll see what the 11th District says if Jack Smith takes it to them and says, look, get this out of here. This is ridiculous. This judge has to go. We need a trial, not a game. He won't say it that way, but that's really what we're talking about. And everyone knows that she's been beat down by the 11th District now twice. And if Jack Smith brings another case, it's going to be three times. And after three times, presumably, he could say, come on, guys, let's move this. But we don't know. And Jack Smith, of course, is trying to decide what to do about it because he's not trying to anger anybody. And isn't that an interesting point? The prosecutor doesn't want to anger the judges. And yet here we are in Manhattan where the criminal defendant is messing with everybody in that court and especially the judge. Especially the judge. So I wonder what they're saying on the programs around the country where they're pretending. Listen to this. Listen to what they're saying. And you've probably heard this. Maybe some of you believe it. That this is our first official communist show trial. I'd be sorry if there are people out here who believe that. That would be very sad because I can tell you right now that is clearly not what's happening. In fact, what is happening is that Donald Trump is being given a degree of latitude that would be offered to nobody in our country. Nobody accused of any kind of a criminal act would get the latitude that Donald Trump gets to beat up the jurors, the judge, the witnesses, the assistants in the courtroom, the families of all of these people. And of course, what anybody normal could say is, why allow this to go on? Why not stop it already? It's not legal, and it's not. But here's the problem. Everybody wants to preserve the record so that somewhere down the line, when the appeals show up, because Donald has been convicted and sentenced and it's all over, the hope is that those appeals courts will look and say, this man was given every opportunity. He was protected every inch of the way. And convicted and sentenced properly. Had good attorneys. Had judges who restrained themselves in the face of unheard of behaviors in the courtroom, but have restrained themselves and have allowed it to go to completion so that finally Donald Trump could be convicted and sentenced fairly. That's one way of looking at this. The other way of looking at it is that this guy has gotten every break, every opportunity to protect his rights. And that now there are some other people who have rights. Now, you know, there were seven jurors when we went into today. And the first thing that happened is that one of those jurors was pulled off. She gave up because she got phone calls. People said, I think you're the person that we heard about on the jury. It sounds like you because there were descriptions given. And she came into the courtroom today and she was frightened. Worried that the wrong people would figure out who she is and come and try to kill her. That's where we are, you know. That's exactly where we are. There were people on TV today, former friends of Trump, as well as legal analysts and reporters who have interviewed former friends of Trump. And the consensus across the board is that Donald's loving this in one sense. He wants to hurt people. He wants to scare them. He's prepared to go all the way with his threats. And that, in fact, supposedly, and I believe this, supposedly his hero, aside from Hitler, is John Gotti. That he loved John Gotti because Gotti walked into the courtroom. And here was the description they gave, that Trump said that he loved Gotti because he looked at the jurors, he looked at the witnesses, he looked at the judge, and he had an F-U on his face. Whether he did or not, Donald saw it that way and loved it. And by the way, Michael now says we've got a full jury plus one alternate. So we've got five more to go. And that could be either done today or tomorrow for sure, as fast as all of this is going. And of course, Michael, the question is, will all these people stick? That we don't know for the moment, but we'll see. I'm talking about the lady who was frightened off the jury. Understandably. Who wants this? Who wants the mob boss to come after them with threats of murder and all the rest? Which, again, Donald doesn't have to say any of it, does he? Everybody knows what's up. He retweeted a post today, or last night anyway, that was so over the line, that was so outrageous, that all of the legal analysts that I heard today, people who have been very restrained up until now, have all said the same thing. The line has been crossed. Trump is attacking the jury directly, threatening them, not in his own words, but guess what? He's using other people's words and then posting them under his signature. There isn't a person out here, not one, who isn't certain that that is a violation of the gag order, and even without the gag order, a violation of the law, and that Donald has to be sanctioned. And sanctioned means very clearly one thing: go to jail. The judge has already told him, I'll put you in jail. Now he has to show Donald that he will put him in jail. And then all of us have to become psychologists. We have to somehow try to get into Donald Trump's head and figure out what he wants. But it doesn't matter what he wants. A lot of people say, well, maybe if he wants this, we shouldn't give it to him. But it doesn't matter if he wants to go to jail. Maybe he does. Maybe he sees the value from the standpoint of raising money. Maybe he thinks that the sympathy it'll bring him will get him more votes. He may have a lot of reasons for wanting to go to jail. But if he wants to go to jail, the judge needs to put him in jail now because he wants it. So put him there and let him go in jail and throw a tantrum, and then they'll keep him in jail because they're not going to let him back in that courtroom if he doesn't stop attacking jurors and witnesses. And he has now done both. And, you know, without a gag order, you can't do either. And one of the legal analysts today said something that resonates with me, probably doesn't resonate with anybody else in the country, because there isn't anybody around that wants to hear one thing about the Mueller report. Nothing. Okay, so let me just interrupt and say, you know, Michael heard yesterday that under New York law, the judge can't put him in jail. He can only fine him. So that was discussed. The answer is no, he can put him in jail. So you don't have to worry about that. He can be put in jail. The judge told him that he could put him in jail. And in fact, what you're talking about, Michael, is something different. I'm no lawyer, so I can't give you the ins and outs, but I can tell you without a question, he can go to jail. And he can go to jail tomorrow. He can go to jail on Tuesday after the hearing. And there's no question that the judge wants to at least wait until Tuesday because they want to have the hearing. And this is going to be an incredible hearing. In this hearing, there are going to be lawyers on both sides explaining, one, why what Donald did broke the law and was against the order of the judge for Donald to be gagged in court. That's one. The other side is going to either say, he's sorry, he didn't mean it, he got carried away, which is hard to imagine that Donald would allow that to be said. And the other possibility is that they'll come into the courtroom and explain that Donald believes this is a communist show trial, that this is a witch hunt, and that he has the right to say what he wants, and you can do whatever you want to him because Donald doesn't care. It's probably going to be halfway between those, although it could be all the way, because let's face it, Donald may want to go to jail. And I think if he wants to go to jail, we should give it to him. Let him have what he wants, because it's beyond time to worry about the appeal down the line, because this judge has done everything that is required under the law to protect the rights of Donald Trump, and he's done more than is required. He has done too much. So it's time to enforce the law. And these appeals court judges will be able to see what's happened, and they'll be able to hear him going berserk, because Donald's going to go berserk. He's going to go berserk for 6 weeks through this trial. He'll do it in jail, or he'll do it in the courtroom. Whichever one you allow. If you allow him to go to court, he'll do it there. If you put him in jail, he'll do it in jail. You can give him one of those metal cups, and he can run it along the jail cell bars, and he can scream all he wants, and he will. Let him do it. It's time to enforce the law. This guy can't be allowed to threaten everybody in that courtroom. And if you're on the Donald Trump side and you think it's okay to threaten people in a courtroom, I don't know what to tell you. There are countries you can go to if you want, if that's what you want, that they will certainly accommodate you in Hungary. They'll accommodate you for sure in the Kremlin. You know that. Belarus, you can probably enjoy, you know, a few years in Belarus. And you can have that kind of behavior. You can watch it all the time. All of these countries that align with Vladimir Putin and have dictators in charge who have been placed there by Putin, they do this all the time. It was pointed out today that Donald Trump did this exact same thing when Paul Manafort was on trial. Exactly this. Screaming and yelling and accusing people. This is what he's going to do if you allow him to do it. He is a criminal defendant. As a criminal defendant, he does not have all the rights that we have. He just doesn't. That's a fact. He has limited rights as a criminal defendant, and part of those rights is that he has the right to a fair and speedy trial. But guess what? The people of New York have the right to a speedy and fair trial. They both have the right. Now, we'll see what the judge decides when he's heard both sides on Tuesday. But he knows that everybody has a right for this trial to move forward. There are rights involved here that go beyond Donald Trump's rights. He, of course, has his, and they have to be protected. But others have rights as well. The jurors have rights when it comes to feeling safe. The witnesses have rights not to be intimidated, not to be threatened. That is exactly the obstruction of law that was identified in the Mueller report. Exactly that. Donald will do this and has done it. He just never had a chance to do it for himself. He's done it for others. If our system allows him to go on, this trial will be worse than a circus. Worse, far worse, dangerously worse. So what has to happen here is the judge needs to listen very carefully to these arguments. And he has to decide very quickly how he's going to shut Donald Trump down. $1,000 per violation won't stop Trump. $1 million wouldn't stop him. Because there are people who will send their last dollar as they're eating their last can of dog food. They'll send their last dollar to Donald Trump to pay for his legal expenses. So there are millions of dollars for Donald to do whatever crazy thing he wants in that courtroom. And he'll do it unless the judge stops him. It's that simple. I mean, we talk about whether the jurors are able to be fair when they're listening to what happens in that courtroom, the instructions of the judge, the testimony of the witnesses. Can the jurors be fair? Well, there's another question. Can the judge hold Donald to account when he breaks the law in that courtroom? When he disrespects the judge, when he disrespects the legal system, when he disrespects the people who are there to fairly judge Trump's innocence or guilt under the law, that's all part of this system too. It's not all Donald. He's got his rights and others have their rights. And if this is a good judge, and a lot of us think it is, come Tuesday, he's going to take action. It's going to be more than $1,000. If it's $1,000, he'd better have an awfully good strategy under his belt. He would have to have something really brilliant planned if he comes into that courtroom on Tuesday after hearing all of these violations of the law and he says, fine, $1,000. Don't do it again. He'd better have something up his sleeve, I'll tell you, because otherwise, Donald Trump is going to take this all the way. He's not going to play. He's going to be as crazy as anybody can imagine. And after 8 years of this, your imagination should take you a long way in understanding what Donald could do here. But it's a great thing to have imagination when you're thinking about what it is you want for dinner tonight. Imagination is certainly part of the key to a good meal. And I can tell you right now, the people at Wendy's can cook you up a meal that can at least equal your imagination, maybe beat it. Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And if you walk in, the first thing you do, forget the food right away, ask for Ben, just give him a hug, say hi. He'll get you seated. And then you can have baby back ribs, onion rings, patty melt, the wings, the smoked meats, all the great food, the pizza. Wendy's is terrific. The food is great. It's just a great place to go to enjoy yourself. I mean, you don't have to get away from all this. You can go there and argue for hours politics with anybody. Bring your friends. Bring your neighbors. Don't bring Donald Trump. Well, you won't be able to. He's in jail, we hope. Anyway, that's Wendy's. They're at 18,000. Chesterfield Airport Road, I promise you, you'll have a great meal. You will love it at Wendy's. You really will. It's a great, friendly place to go. And keep in mind that the new location in Defiance is coming. That's Wendy's. Now, if you're looking for jewelry, my friend Al has a great jewelry store at 4506 Hampton, and that is Jewels on Hampton. If you've got a watch that needs to be fixed, he can get it fixed right there in the store. They know what they're doing. They're excellent. If you want to see his designs, his jewelry designs, they're all right there for you to see. And if you've got an idea of some jewelry that you want made, a special way that you want it, Al can take care of that too. His son is there, AJ. They got a great staff. It's a great jewelry store. They buy and sell coins and jewelry. That's Jewels on Hampton. They are exceptional. Jewels on Hampton. 4506 Hampton. And then finally, you know I love my suits. I love my suits. And I can tell you right now that my suit that I'm wearing, I mean, it's black and gray, I guess, I think. You know, I'm not too good when it comes to colors. I've got some real problems identifying colors. But I can tell you that the people at St. Louis Suit Company can tell you exactly what matches. They tell me. Without them, I wouldn't know what I was doing. With them, I'm perfect. The St. Louis Suit Company is on the corner of Forsyth and Central in Clayton. They've got suits, they've got ties, they've got shirts, and they've got friendly people who run that place, who own it, and have been there for 29 years. If you're getting married, they'll take care of your whole wedding. And if you're going to somebody else's wedding, they'll get you dressed for that too. They're really good at weddings, but they're really good at everything when it comes to men's clothing. St. Louis Suit Company, Forsyth and Central in Clayton. You definitely need to check them out. Now, if you'd like to give me a call, you can call in and directly talk to me. I was just checking out to make sure that my phone system is all set up working, and it is. Connected for calls and audio. I love it. The phone number is 314-471-1968. 314-471-1968. Call in, and I guarantee you we've already worked out everything. It works perfectly. And we could talk about anything you want. But, you know, I want to talk about Donald. But I'll talk about anything else, too. I'll tell you who wants to talk about Donald today. How did this happen? Former Attorney General Barr and Governor Sununu, they were two people who in the last 6 months said every horrible thing about Donald Trump that you can imagine. They said he was a con artist. They said that he was dangerous to democracy. They said that if he became president of the United States again, it would be like the United States playing Russian roulette. They went on and on, both of them, talking about how dangerous it would be for Donald Trump to ever become president of the United States again. They gave every argument that anybody imagined and even more because they were there. They knew what happened. They knew what Trump did. They knew how he behaved. They knew how he refused to take the slightest bit of advice from anybody that was trying to tamp down the craziness. Anybody even trying to help Donald, he wouldn't listen to. And that's one of the things, too, that they brought up, that this man wouldn't even protect himself, let alone the country, that he was just a wild man out of control. Suddenly, they're endorsing Donald Trump. And when I heard Sununu on Sunday explaining that it's true that Trump's got serious problems, but that 51% of the people in this country support him, and therefore Sununu is now on board. Well, first, 51%, I mean, that's ridiculous. There isn't a poll around that shows that one. But beyond that, it doesn't matter, because you just don't go by what everybody is saying. You go by what you think is right. And you don't have to tell them what's right, because Sununu has told us what's right. He has said week after week after week on all the programs, and he's been happy to go on the shows. He's never held back. And he has said every time, you can't let this man be president again. It's too dangerous for the country. It's wrong. This man's a maniac. You can't do it. He's a con man. Again, Bill Barr's words, Russian roulette. The United States is playing Russian roulette if we allow Donald Trump to be president of the United States. And suddenly, both of these guys have just switched. And here's the problem. And really, this is a problem for all of us. I don't care which side you're on. I mean, if you're on the Donald Trump side and you think he's just a fine man, then you have to wonder about somebody who had the opinion that Trump was insane. And then suddenly, for no reason, has flipped the other way. Did somebody promise them something? I don't know. It didn't seem like their comments were made with the eye to receiving some kind of an offer. Maybe that's what happened. I don't know. I'll tell you, there's another way I've looked at this, but it's just too hard for even me to believe this. But it's the only thing that makes any sense. And yet I still don't really believe it. And that is that these people are being threatened. You know, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, lots of different people that have worked with Trump who have flipped back to Trump after flipping away from Trump. Lindsey Graham has said the worst things about Trump that you could ever imagine. Did someone threaten to kill him? Did someone threaten to kill his wife? His family? I don't know. I don't believe it. I really don't. I'm not a conspiracy kind of guy. I just can't even imagine that would be the case. And yet, that seems more likely to me than somebody just being offered like the vice presidency. Really. I mean, would you like to sit in the White House right next to Donald Trump in a meeting as the vice president of the United States, knowing what a lunatic this man is? I just can't imagine that. And especially if the guy has attacked you, your wife, the rest of your family. And you know that the attacks that he has brought against these people have not just been, I don't like you kind of attacks. These have been way over the line. far beyond something that a person could just come back from and say, okay, I accept you're sorry. And yet you know that Donald doesn't say I'm sorry. So it's not that. So I'm only going to leave it with you this way. Is it possible that Trump and his puppet master, Putin, have one by one threatened these people? Because that would be one thing I could understand. I mean, if you're protecting your family from a death threat that you believe is credible, that I could believe. In fact, it's the only thing that makes any sense, even though I just personally wouldn't believe it unless there was some really good evidence of it, like a tape or a whole lot of people that came forward and said, yes, I was a victim of these threats like the others. Only that would convince me it's true, because I can just tell you, theorizing about it, well, again, like I said, it's the only thing that makes any sense. And yet, I just have to admit that even I, as bad as I think of Trump, I can't even imagine that it's true. But again, if there were some evidence, I could buy into it very quickly, because it's the only thing that makes any sense. Why would these people flip? Because you offered them money? How much money? Donald doesn't even have any money. So what kind of money would it be? You know Donald doesn't have any money, don't you? His stock was up today, I will say that. $4 or $5 a share. It'll be one before he sells. You can watch that. Things bounce up and down. The reason that Trump's stock went up, you know, is because they took action, quote, action, to try to help the owners of the stock to avoid having their shares lent out to short sellers. That is, to reduce the potential for short selling in that stock. If you don't understand all that, don't worry about it. The bottom line is they've taken action to try to reduce the sellers in that stock, and it did get a reaction in the marketplace. Donald won't have any money in the end, and he doesn't have any money now. The man is broke. And there is an investigation underway. You understand that? Probably not. But there's an investigation underway to find out what's up with the Knight Specialty Insurance Company, which a lot of people now are saying is quite a joke and may not have the money to guarantee the bond to the state of New York, even though Trump says that he has produced all the money to back up the bond, and therefore that the bond is safe. However, if that were true, people are asking the following question. What did he need a bond for? Why didn't he just put up the money? If he's putting up the money for the insurance company, why didn't he just put up the money? I can assure you we're going to get the answer to all of this before we're through. We're going to know. This isn't going to be hidden. We're going to find out exactly what game has been played, if there is one. And I suspect there is one. But there's no question. There's something happening. Something's happening. Believe me, that name that's underneath Showdown, how do you think that got there? Something's happening. Guaranteed. We'll find out. These kinds of things don't stay hidden. I know that Donald thinks he can hide it because he thinks he'll be president. And then he and Vladimir Putin can shove everything under a rug. No, that is not what they will be able to do. And he will not be president of the United States. And if for no other reason, he won't be president because he's not going to have a woman in this country voting for him by the time we get down to the end. Oh, yeah, there'll be a few. But trust me, right now it's 60-35, and he's losing ground by the day with women. So don't worry. Donald will not be president. But he's certainly causing some damage in the meantime. You know, there were three famous people who used a similar phrase. Originally, this phrase came from Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln said the Constitution is not a suicide pact. And he came up with that when he suspended the use of habeas corpus, which is a protection for people that allows them to be assured that they can get all of the information about who is accusing them and what the charges are, and they have to bring a person out of hiding and put them in front of a courtroom, and a judge has got to make sure that that person has their rights. That was suspended during the Civil War under Abraham Lincoln, and he said, it may not be constitutional, but the Constitution is not a suicide pact. We don't set it up so that you can destroy the entire country. So that was Abraham Lincoln. Then in Supreme Court decisions that came in later years, there were two justices who used the same phrase in different sets of circumstances, but having to do with First Amendment rights. And one was Arthur Goldberg, and the other was Robert Jackson, very famous Supreme Court justices. And they said as well that the Constitution is not a suicide pact. There are limits on freedom of speech. We all know that's true. There are. Not a lot, but there are limits. And we do enforce those at the Supreme Court level. We know that there are limits, and we know they're supposed to be. And in the same way, the Constitution is not a suicide pact with regard to Donald Trump. We do not let him go on except for at our own peril. And I can tell you that we're going to get an answer to all of this by next Tuesday, because the judge is going to hear the arguments on both sides, and we're going to get some answers. In the meantime, we're going to get some other answers this weekend, not having anything to do directly with Donald, but of course having to do with Ukraine. We're going to find out, and according to Michael Johnson, the Speaker of the House, we're going to find out if he's lying or if, in fact, he is going to bring to the floor four separate bills aimed at providing foreign assistance. In this case, it would be to Taiwan, to Ukraine, and to Israel. And he promises that that is going to be done over the weekend. There's a slight possible hitch in the Rules Committee in the House of Representatives, and I don't even know at this point whether they're resolving that right now as we speak. It could be resolved at any moment. It would only require some Democrats on the Rules Committee to vote with Michael Johnson, and then we would see these bills on the floor, and they would be voted on Saturday. So if you want to spend Saturday doing something really fun, you can sit in front of C-SPAN and watch all of this live. I'm sure everybody wants to do that, but actually it's a shame because I think everybody ought to do it. Of course, you can do it in 2024 if you just take your cell phone with you and watch it on your cell phone. You could watch it on your cell phone at the beach. Couldn't do that in 1968, but you can do it in 2024, and that's terrific. So you can definitely watch that. I don't know if you watched today and you saw that the Kennedy family has endorsed Joe Biden. And they were pretty nice about how they stood against RFK Jr. And, you know, it's so shameful that RFK Jr. is so outrageously bad. It's just, you know, it really, it hurts a lot of us, I'm sure. Me, I know it hurts me. Probably hurts other people, too, to have that tied to Bobby Kennedy, such a great American political figure, coming behind his brother John. These were fabulously inspiring people. Then followed by Ted, who a lot of people despised because of all the decades that he hung around. But they were really a great family. And here comes RFK Jr. out of his mind. And the family has said as much, but they sort of backed down a little today. They just said, forget him. Vote for Joe Biden. And I'm sure they have some very good reasons for it that they may not exactly be telling you, but they've got some good reasons for it. So let me end all this today with one other thing. You know, the stock market's been hit a little bit in the last week and a half, 2 weeks. It's very overextended. I talked about this a week and a half ago, and also interest rates have begun creeping up again, despite the fact that the Federal Reserve has said that they might lower rates sometime in the near future, maybe not as fast as they had said, but they're thinking about it. So they haven't just walked away from it, but it doesn't matter. Markets are markets, and they don't just follow what people tell you. And so those rates are sort of creeping up, maybe a little more than creeping. And on top of that, the selling has entered the marketplace and things are beginning to fall a little bit. And then the other thing is, and actually I need to do this another day, and Joe has offered to put some pictures up on the screen, and I will. I'll put some pictures up on the screen and you can see how this works. But basically what's happened is that the market has become increasingly narrow. That is, you know, we should all know that it's basically Amazon and Apple and Netflix and NVIDIA. You know, the big names have driven these averages up. And outside of that, most stocks are going nowhere because it's very narrow. It's just in that small group. And that's exactly what happens at market tops. Doesn't tell you the day, but certainly a danger factor. And it's really a political danger, of course, to Joe Biden, because he has nothing to do with any of this. Nothing to do with it. Doesn't even slightly have a thing to do with Joe Biden. But if the prices start to accelerate going down, they'll pin it on him so fast. And hopefully he's got some answers for it. And there are some that he could easily have. And I hope that he's prepared to act on his behalf with that. And I think he will. I think he's got some smart people there. And they know that this is a potential danger at some point. We'll see. Well, tomorrow when I come back here, we will probably have a jury plus six alternates, I hope. Let's hope we don't lose half of those people tonight from Donald Trump's threats. I hope. We want to see a trial. We want to see it fair. And frankly, Donald needs to go to jail. You need to go to Wendy's. You need to go to Jules on Hampton. You need to go to the St. Louis Suit Company. All great people who aren't breaking any laws and who will sell you everything in a free and fair way. Until then, I'm Mark Kaysen. This is Showdown. Good night.